Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna. And I wanted to thank you for being patient. This is the only episode this month because I had a really busy beginning of the month. As anyone who has been listening for a while knows, and if this is your first time tuning in, now you will, I have been in a rigorous two-year nursing program since the end of 2017, and I can happily tell you all that I have officially passed the program. I do still have to take my licensing exam, and that will be sometime in late June or early July, so I'm not a registered nurse yet, but I did finish the program, which was honestly the most difficult part. The board exam is big and bad and mean, but it's not going to be as in-depth as a lot of the questions that we got because school is supposed to be a little bit tougher than the exam to kind of prepare us for it. So it's been a struggle in the last 2 years to balance school and podcast and this little tarot business on the side and a marriage and running a household and taking care of three cats. Today is also the two-year anniversary of having Surreal in the house. You may remember some episodes where I mentioned that my cat was messing with me while I was trying to record. That one. That little hell gopher. She's looking very innocent right now as I record. It's been a wild 2 years. Thank you for being on this journey with me, if you have been. And if you're just tuning in, thanks for popping in now. So the good news is that with school being pretty much done, I mean, I have to do some other courses, but a lot of those are going to be online. It'll just be a lot easier to manage. It's not going to be as intense. With all of that, I should be able to post more regularly. I should be able to pay more attention to my Patreon. And it should overall be a good turning point. So, to bring it back, I know that I've been promising this episode in particular for a while, and I triply appreciate your patience to the people who have asked me about it. I am finally doing an episode on the tarot court cards. I know I did my five-part little series on the majors and the four suits of the minor, and I think I very briefly touched on the court cards in my exploration of each suit. But the court cards really stymie a lot of newer readers, and they can be tough for those of us who've been reading for a while. There's a lot of different reasons for this. Some decks just don't have very good interpretations. I've talked many times about how my favorite Vampire Tarot just doesn't have excellent minor arcana. The court cards in that deck are actually quite good. The Queen of Swords reminds me very strongly of my mother, for good and for bad, both in looks and in meaning, but in looks in particular in that deck. Not so much in like the Rider-Waite or some other interpretations, but regardless, different decks do have different appearances of the court cards. Some decks also do different things. So the standard court card setup is a page, a knight, a queen, and a king. Yes, in that order. There are decks like the Wild Unknown that play with this, where you have a daughter, son, mother, and father. I understand that doing that tried to take out some of the, human expectations of those courtly roles, but I don't know that I personally think that it's a much more useful way of framing it. It works for some people, it doesn't work for other people, and that's why we have, 500 kinds of tarot decks, probably way more than 500. Regardless, the court cards do follow that kind of system, where it's a youth to an elder, the most juvenile or unevolved beginner aspect up to the expert. Generally speaking, the tarot court cards have represented people. when they pop up in a reading, it often means other people are involved. However, it doesn't always mean someone outside of yourself. It could be the person getting the reading. And different court cards in a reading could all be the same person. Different aspects of that person, different aspects of a person's life. Sorry, there's a little bit more background noise than normal. I do have the window open. And, you know, it's a spring day in Jersey City. So, sun's out, guns out is a rather literal term in the city. But we think about the court cards, again, as people. And that's a very simple and a very difficult thing to work with when you are getting used to looking at a spread. I would say that when you're reading, don't get too hung up on the court cards. Just try to read through them and be as simplistic as you need to be with them, and eventually you'll start getting your own meanings to these cards. I mean, that's just like any other card in the deck, right? I've been saying that for everything, but I really do mean it with the court cards, because more than any other card, I think, it requires so much of your own or the querent's responses and projections to adequately read court cards. You know, the major arcana have these very archetypal kind of ideas behind them, these very storytelling presentations. And if you're using a pictorial deck, the rest of the minors do have a story. So at least you can kind of look at all the minors in sequence and kind of tease out that story and kind of work from there. But it's a lot harder with the court card sometimes to really kind of figure that out, because it just is. I never really had too much of an issue with them, but again, my own tarot story is kind of skewed. I did grow up around them. And I also have done a hefty amount of reading and writing and editing, and that's the realm that I'm most comfortable in. So looking at the relationships between these cards and figuring out who they could be, it's something that's always been very second nature to me. But just because it's second nature to me doesn't mean that I don't continually try to refine what I'm doing with them. One of the best books I can recommend you for this, and one that I looked through a lot in preparing for this episode, is Mary Kay Greer and Tom Little's Understanding the Tarot Court, with a foreword by Rachel Pollack, who did 78 Degrees of Wisdom. So I highly recommend picking up this book. It has so much more to it than I am going to go into in the next 20 minutes or so. I really recommend it if you care about deepening your practice with the court cards. And I think that it could go a long way for you. So, to get into some nitty-gritty here, I will kind of just do some quick keywords that might be helpful for you. And we'll see where that takes us. So let's start with the Page of Wands. The Wand suit might be a good one to start with. It's actually sometimes a little bit more difficult, actually, and it does have one of my favorite cards to discuss. So the Page of Wands usually is someone who's just getting started or excited about an idea, someone who's kind of just starting to explore their creativity, someone who takes risks, someone who is looking to do something new and exciting. all the pages are about that, you know, this getting started, this new and exciting. You can kind of think of the pages as the aces, you know, they are holding out that one symbol of the suit, kind of like the hand is coming from the sky with those symbols in the aces. But the difference there is that you have to superimpose the suit onto it. And in this situation, that has to do with passions. It has to do with interests and creativity. So, you know, the Page of Wands could often be somebody who is, getting started on this new art idea, new passion project. And the wands very often relate to our careers at this point, both because we spend so much time and energy on our careers, but also because a lot of us choose careers or at least side hustles that we do care about, you know, that do have something to do with our most important passions. Sorry, words are kind of hard. I'm still kind of in shock about the whole passing school thing. So that's that page, right? That beginner. The Knight of Wands, you know, really gets a bad rap in tarot circles these days. I think much like some of the astrology trends, it is coming around a bit and people are less judgmental of the Knight of Swords energy. But that Knight of Swords is kind of referred to as a player. You know, someone who really pushes forward with their passion and their ideas, maybe a little bit too much. You know, really like moving forward. You can kind of correlate the knight in all the suits to the chariot. You know, that forward movement, that inexorable movement. But the Knight of Wands, and then we'll get to it later, the Knight of Swords, both have this very kinetic energy about them in their drawings, in the Rider-Waite. Obviously, this can differ from deck to deck, but in the Rider-Waite, they are very kinetic cards. And it's worth thinking about the good and the bad of that. You know, yes, it's this awesome, fast-paced, let's get it done, we've got the motivation, but are you trampling over other people in that pursuit? Are you burning out because you're so excited about it? Is this someone who's not going to be committed to you and is going to just move forward with their own agenda? That's stuff you got to really think about with the Knight of Wands. So, you know, as every card, there's good and there's bad in it. So we get to the Queen of Wands. She's often one of the more mysterious queens. In the Rider-Waite and in a lot of decks, she has this little cat with her. She's a leader. She is very strong and passionate and charismatic, but she might be a little bit controlling. All the regents, the kings and the queens need to, yes, there's an element of control with them, but in particular, you know how those really, really fiery type A types can kind of be a little bit pushy. The Queen of Wands is very pushy. She can also be pretty dramatic for good and for bad. But in general, she's someone who knows how to take her passion and have others help her pursue it and help others pursue their passions, especially in ways that relate back to what she's doing. Then we get to that King of Wands. So the King of Wands is, you know, kind of a counterpart to the Queen, although there's a couple things that Mary Kay Greer brings up that I'm going to bring up later. And the King of Wands is more of a straight-up entrepreneur than the Queen is. Yes, the Queen leads and is visionary and all of that, but the King is, you know, a little bit less in touch with the more grounded parts of the suit. And this is true for all of them. The Queen is usually more involved in the more mundane matters, the more day-to-day stuff, and the King is a little bit more removed and aloof, again, for better and for worse. So that King of Wands, right? Very charismatic, very much like the Queen, but has more of a long-term vision, has more of a removed vision, and can really, you know, kind of like the Knight of Wands, really just have this vision and not take others' opinions into account. The King of Wands is also less likely to be swayed than the Queen of Wands and is less likely to care really about what anyone else is doing unless it specifically suits what he's doing. Whereas the Queen might be more willing to kind of nurture here, the King is like, well, if you're doing what I want you to do, great. And if not, I got other stuff to do. So something to think about here. I do want you to get out of the idea that the kings and queens must be gendered. Although when we get to the Pentacles, which I'll do next, I have a fun story about the Queen of Pentacles that I've mentioned a few times in this podcast, but I'm going to relate it again. So the queens can often be the high priestess, and although the Queen of Pentacles is a little more closely related to the Empress, but as a general archetype, if we're going to relate the suits in general, or the court cards in each suit in general to one major arcana, you know, the pages are the Fool, the knights are the Chariot, the queens are the High Priestess or the Empress, and the king is the Emperor or Hierophant. Again, when we go into the exercises later, we'll discuss further breaking that down. But, yeah, that's kind of what I got for that king. That this king in particular, kind of like the Targaryens, can really kind of lead in a very dramatic and not reassuring way. So, we go from the Wands to the Cups. Now, that Page of Cups often represents a new relationship. Does not have to be a romantic one by any stretch of the imagination. Can very much be a friendship, a renewed acquaintanceship, a deepened relationship, or a continuing relationship with a child in your life. The pages do often represent younger people, but they're not always someone who's younger in age. It could be someone who's less experienced than you in a certain area of life. Could just be someone who's new to your life, not necessarily someone who is younger or even immature and experienced. But again, a lot of it has to do with your interpretation of it and what else is going on in that spread. So don't get too hung up on this must be a child and this must be an adolescent and blah, 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 blah. So the Page of Cups, again, is often a new relationship. But, you know, there's someone who has something to offer you, and it's a very pure kind of offering. Of course, in a not-so-good position, you know, if this is an obstacle kind of thing, or if this is, like, if it's reversed, depending on the situation, you know, could be someone who is really immature about it, could be someone who is doesn't understand the gravity of what you're trying to do and isn't ready to meet you. Could also be someone who's just kind of flighty, you know, someone who's not all there and doesn't understand, like, the commitment aspect of this. So from the Page of Cups, we move on to the Knight of Cups. And the Knight of Cups is a lot more stable. Remember how I said the Knight of Wands and the Knight of Swords, which we haven't gotten to yet, are kind of the kinetic energy cards. Well, the Knight of Cups and the Knight of Pentacles, they're a lot more stable. They're moving in a slower and more measured pace. But this can be a good thing. You know, it's someone who, you know, is moving harmoniously towards the things that they care about. You know, this is almost always a good sign when it comes to a relationship because it means that relationship is progressing smoothly and with love and care. But it could also mean someone who, you know, is kind of using emotions to get one over on you and knows how to do it. Someone who is unwilling to really see it through. Again, it really depends on what position it's in. You know, you have to look at the context. Context is key in tarot. I cannot stress this enough. Don't try to take these cards out of context because it's just going to be confusing. So then we move on to the Queen of Cups. The Queen of Cups in particular is often a counselor of some kind. A lot of the time when she comes up in a reading, I recommend that someone go visit an actual therapist and not just a tarot card reader. She's someone who can be very, you know, forgiving and nurturing, but also very persuasive with emotions. You know, whereas the Queen of Wands is using her passion and her ability to inspire to get people to do what she wants, the Queen of Cups is working on emotions. And again, that's not always a bad thing. Yes, manipulation gets a bad rap, but not all manipulation is equal. You know, sometimes you need a little bit of manipulation to get where you need to go. Of course, some of the other issues with the Queen of Cups could be someone who uses that manipulation for evil. Someone who is maybe too sensitive for the kind of position that they're in. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a manager who really couldn't handle being a manager and cared so much about what other people thought of them that they didn't effectively manage their crew. It does take a certain amount of being willing to overlook what people think in order to do that. You know, and it could also be someone who is, you know, really caring and nurturing. Again, all the queens have that to a certain extent, but the Queen of Cups the most so. The King of Cups, the Tarot of the Silicon Dawn really changed my view of the King of Cups forever. The King of Cups in that one is viewed as like a master sailor, someone who has this vision of how to plan their trip and knows the seas and how to do it and has this logical plan thought out. You know, people don't always put logic onto the cups, but the King and Queen of the suits, they're not just pure emotion. You know, they're using their emotions for their good and the greater good. So the King of Cups can definitely be someone who understands the need to use emotions for this greater good. And that can sometimes mean that they don't care about your emotions in particular. You know, there's someone that you can lean on to be a good emotional compass for them to tell you if the emotion that you're having is overall useful or overall not. And sometimes we need that reality check. Sometimes we don't need the handholding of the queen. Sometimes we need the sterner but not unkind nature of the king to kind of guide us in that way. But as I said, the biggest problem with this king is the potential to be manipulative, to use that control over people's emotions to kind of take the easy way out and tell them what they want to hear so that they can go do what they want to do and what they think is best. They can be kind of rigid for someone who is supposed to be such so good at going with the flow. So it's something to think about there. Moving on to the Page of Swords, you know, we've got this person who is kind of really getting to express some ideas for the first time, getting comfortable with that realm. Someone who is bringing you the good news. You know, you can often think of someone who's just made a big change in their life. You know, maybe they just went vegan or started an exercise plan or found a new path, or someone who just started reading tarot and you want to tell everyone about it. That's kind of that Page of Swords energy right there. And that can be really good because you're kind of bringing some new thoughts and fresh air and challenges to people and to yourself. The other side of it, though, is someone, you know, not really understanding the full effect of this particular avenue and not really thinking things through all the way. This is someone who might be very superficial in thought, or is kind of so eager to prove themselves that they kind of come off as sounding stupid or just not where they need to be. So that page can mature into the knight. And remember I said the Knight of Swords is that, you know, that other action-y kind of knight. So this is someone who's taking that, you know, I have this idea and I want to tell everyone to, I am going to tell everyone and they're going to agree with me. It's wanting to share versus proselytizing. You know, someone who's really going to push through with their logic and their ideas and their words. This is someone who will talk over you until you either agree with them or shut up just to get them to shut up. Sometimes, again, this can be a good thing. Sometimes you need that Knight of Swords energy, especially if you're protesting or, you know, it's a big push. You really need to get this point across. You need to get it across now. That can be a really good thing. And having that energy, you know, sometimes you need that energy to get out of a rut, or you need someone who's pushing you in that way. Of course, the flip side of this is someone who really just uses that to cut deep. You know, someone who really doesn't care about what their message might do to others, what their approach might do to others, just trample, trample, trample. So being careful with that is pretty important. Then we move on to the Queen of Swords. Queen of Swords, again, gets a really bad rap. She's often portrayed as very sharp-tongued and unfeeling almost, but there is a justice to her. In fact, something that's interesting is that her sword is straight up, whereas the King's sword is tilted a little bit. And that's because, again, the Queens, in a lot of ways, are kind of a more pure representation of the suit than the Kings, because they're more in tune with the full meaning of it, whereas the Kings have kind of gone to the full conclusion of it, whether or not that's actually realistic or useful. So the Queens, in some ways, are at a better place than the Kings for kind of getting to that meaning of that suit. You know, she can be a little bit detached. She can have this reputation as kind of being icy or aloof, but that's just because she's kind of in her own head. She's definitely an introvert for all that she knows that she has a responsibility, you know, but she can be a little detached, but very observant. Someone who's not going to let you get away with this, any nonsense, or lets you keep that mask on. Of course, the flip side of this is that she can be very hypercritical. She can be very demanding. And she can turn on you if you're not doing what she thinks that you need to be doing. So it's worth considering that when you encounter a Queen of Swords in your life or in a reading. So finally, we get to the King of Swords. And, you know, as I said, in a lot of decks, the King of Swords sword is not upright but tilted. In a lot of decks, it's just as upright as the Queen. So it's, you know, very deck dependent, but I am going a lot on Rider-Waite. And the King of Swords is definitely more justice-y than emperor-y. You know, very much in control of his thoughts and his emotions, you know, very much in that intellectual realm. But the problem with this is that he thinks that he's right. And the thing is that he usually is. You can usually count on the King of Swords to be someone in your life whose judgment and wisdom is impeccable. Now, of course, if you get that King of Swords in a bad spot, in an obstacle spot, if you get him reversed, that could be someone whose advice is suddenly bad. That could be someone whose bias is not correct. And also someone who is completely oblivious and doesn't understand that theory does not always translate into reality. You know, this is someone who insists that racism doesn't exist because it shouldn't exist because we're all the same and we all bleed red and blah, blah, blah. Whether or not you have opinions on whether we should, but whether that homogenizes people too much, you know, I think many of us can admit that there is some kind of good kernel in there of human beings have a lot of commonalities. However, it's also not realistic. The King of Swords doesn't understand that. The King of Swords says, but I can conceive it, so why can't everyone? So that's where that is. And now we're finally getting to the Pentacles. So the Pentacles, again, that's Earth, right? So we're getting to someone who is just getting started on some kind of journey. Could be a health journey, could be a career, could be something artistic if you're you're not just doing the ideas, but you're actually doing the work. So for instance, the Page of Pentacles is going to be me when I finally start taking ukulele lessons this summer. That's going to be me kind of putting my money where my mouth is and doing this thing that I want to be doing. The flip side of this is that, you know, if this Page of Pentacles is reversed or in a bad position, or even if it's not reversed, if you sense that there's a blockage, you know, this could be someone who's not willing to put those pieces together and put that effort in. This could be someone who thinks that they're already an expert, even though they've just gotten started. It could be someone who is someone that you need to mentor. You know, someone who's kind of just getting started in the kind of thing that you do all the time. Moving on to the Knight. Remember, this Knight is the more stable Knight, just like the Knight of Cups. So, yes, it's movement, but it's not as frenetic as the Swords and the Wands. So, this is someone who's well on their way towards the thing that they desire and is taking more measured steps than the Page, but is not quite at the mastery level of the Queen and the King. So, you know, yes, they're stable and they're hardworking and they're pushing forward. But if it's reversed or blocked, this could be not moving forward, not pushing through. Or if it's upright but in a bad spot, this could be someone whose forward movement is in opposition to your own desires. It's pretty straightforward in my opinion. So we move on to the Queen. And I mentioned that Queen of Pentacles. The Queen of Pentacles in particular is more of the Empress than she is the High Priestess. Again, because the suit of Pentacles is that suit of Earth. So she's much more grounded, very lush, you know, has a lot going for her. And again, I've shared this story before. I was doing this reading for this very masculine looking bearded person, pulled the Queen of Pentacles, pulled the Empress, pulled another queen. Turns out that they were genderqueer and working on a more feminine presentation. So, you know, kind of marrying that feminine ideal of the Empress with that tangible change of the Queen of Pentacles was a nice way to put that into some context. Really helped cement that Queen of Pentacles in my head. So, this is a person who very much cares and is in touch despite their responsibilities. You know, this is like the best manager you've ever had who understands the realities of your situation but is still at a higher level and also sees a bigger picture. But if they're, you know, ill-dignified, if they're reversed or blocked or in a bad position, you know, in an obstacles position or what have you, this is someone who will readily withhold resources if you're not fitting their mold. Or it could simply mean that, you know, especially when the king and or queen are in a reading in reversed, it could mean that it's not that someone doesn't want to help you, it's that they don't have the resources that they used to have to help you. Or that you don't, you know, if this is representing you, that you don't have the resources that you want to help others. So the King of Pentacles then, in counterpart to the Queen, a little bit less in touch with the realities and the nurturing aspect than the Queen, just like all the other kings. Often enough, when I've pulled the King of Pentacles, this is someone who is actually wealthy. maybe not Bill Gates wealthy, but like your local business owner who paid for his kids to go to college wealthy. Although as speaking as a failed business owner, most of us are broke and can't even afford our own loans, let alone someone else's loans. But, you know, this King of Pentacles is generally also a nurturing kind of presence, but again, much more removed, much more of like someone that you turn to for resources rather than someone that you turn to for advice about what to do with your resources. Much like the Queen, if this person is not in a good position in your reading, this is someone who is going to withhold resources. This is someone who's going to be quick to say, why aren't you doing things the way I told you to do them? That doesn't make any sense. That's not practical. You know, if they think that you are too emotional, you're not going to connect. If they think that you're too theoretical instead of willing to put in that tangible work, you're not going to connect. So, you know, they have their good and their bad sides because the court cards are people, right? Thus ends your little crash course about what the court cards represent. Doesn't mean the episode's over. We've still got some more ground to cover. This is going to be a longer episode than normal if you haven't figured out by the fact that we are now 36 minutes in. So I know that I've said that the court cards represent people and that they don't have to represent other people exactly. They can represent different parts of yourself. So how do you know when you're doing a reading what this represents? There is the idea in tarot of a significator. Often the significators in more traditional senses are chosen based on appearance and gender. As I've discussed in other episodes, this kind of falls off when you realize that most tarot decks are not very diverse or inclusive. They're all thin, white, able-bodied people who fit into a gender binary. Maybe a couple of people who are kind of androgynous, but overall, it's a binary. So where does that leave a lot of people? Where does that leave brown people? Where does that leave disabled people? Where does it leave fat people? No significators? So I really am not a big fan of choosing a significator based on looks alone, unless you feel strongly that you look like this one, and that's where you want to go with it. Again, I said that the Queen of Swords in the Vampire Tarot looks like my mom. She does. She's got the crazy long black hair. It's something in the face. Looks a lot like my mom, physically. And the meaning does fit. If that was the Page of Cups that looked like my mom, I'd be like, well, that's funny. My mom wasn't the Page of Cups at all. So, you know, it's something to consider when you're looking through the cards. If you're choosing a card with humanoid images, because not all decks do. Or if there are people, you know, it could be like the Tarot Nova, or the, I think, Biddy Tarot's New Everyday Tarot, or the Golden Thread Tarot, where they're almost like stick figures rather than fully illustrated people. So it can be harder to get some more, nuance and details in the face to match up. So it's often useful to choose the significator based on archetypes and what's going on. So if you're getting started on a creative venture, you might want to choose the Page or Knight of Wands as your significator. If you're looking into doing a reading about how to retire, you might want the Queen of Pentacles or the King of Pentacles as your significator. If you're looking into how you can nurture your relationship, the Queen of Cups could be a really good bet. Or if you're looking into new relationships, the Page of Cups could be a good bet. If you need help communicating, pick one of the Swords. Maybe even pick the Knight of Swords, even though that's kind of playing with, I don't say playing with fire, but playing with air. So, you know, that's how you can pick a card there to represent yourself. But because we have so many facets to ourselves, I'm not entirely sure that choosing a card off the bat is the way to go. I do think that it can be useful to look at your spread and see how the cards are interacting. Remember that in some styles of reading, in the way that I read and in the way that many people read more modern decks, or even less modern decks, I know Benabel Wen is a big fan of this, directionality is important. What direction are the people in the cards facing? When you get two court cards facing each other, that can be very significant in the reading. If you get them facing away from each other, that can also be very significant. If they're looking in the same direction, maybe that's working together. But if they're looking in opposite directions, they have very different views. If they're looking towards each other, there could be a communication, it could be a confrontation, it could be ultimately beneficial, harder to say. So thinking about all of that when you look at your cards. Now, if you're using a set spread, it could be a lot easier to figure out what this could mean. For instance, if you get a court card in you and your feelings right now, I mean, that's probably about you, unless you feel very strongly that this card is someone else. You know, if your mom is always the Knight of Swords to you, you know, if all your conversations just go pear-shaped and she's always just talking your ear off and not giving you any way to communicate effectively because she just wants to say what she just wants to say, then maybe you're either listening to her too much or have that in the back of your head. But usually that card in that spot, or a card in that spot, you know, anything relating to your views on yourself or what you're projecting or blah, 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 that court card, regardless of whether it normally describes you, could be describing part of you that's kind of coming to the surface at this time. Whereas, let's say you're doing a Celtic cross and you get the outside perspectives and influences card, you pull the King of Cups, you know, really think about who that King of Cups could be in your life and what influence they're having on you right now. Is that your boss? Is that your mom? Is that your brother? Is that your significant other or one of your significant others? You know, it's really worth thinking about. The flip side of that, and yes, that could mean that other people are expecting you to provide, you know, again, for going that King of Cups, they're expecting you to provide that level of emotional maturity. So it's really hard for me to give you some kind of cut and dry idea of what each card means in sequence. You really have to do your own readings to try to figure that out. Now, I don't work very closely with astrology or with Kabbalah at this point, although I will be learning more about both now that school is not as rigorously demanding. But it is worth considering for those of you who do more Kabbalah work than I do. The queens are in Bina, the kings are in Chokhma, the princes are in Tipereth, so the princes are the knights, and the pages or princesses are in Malkuth. So if you're thinking about it, right, the princesses are on the bottom, the princes are in the middle, and the kings and the queens are almost at the top. Not quite. That's Kether is the top, and that's where the aces are. So, you know, you can kind of see that progression there. And there's a great chart of all the cards in tarot on the Tree of Life in the Mary Kay Greer Understanding the Tarot Court book. It's actually just what I was looking at. There's also astrological associations to them. Again, this is something that you should do more research on because it is not my strong suit, but it's worth looking at, and so you can kind of get a sense of where they are. So yeah, I think that's about what I've got for you. Something else I really like that Mary Kay Greer recommends is if you're doing a reading for someone and you're trying to figure out what that court card can mean in their life, ask them to describe that card. If they're getting a real negative vibe from that Page of Cups, for instance, ask them why. Ask them if that reminds them of someone in particular in their life. If they're getting this really positive vibe from the Knight of Wands, ask them why. ask them, you know, is this exciting to you? Like, if someone says that that Knight of Wands has like a calming energy, maybe this is someone who makes them feel better to be around because it makes them, you know, it reminds them that they still have a creative urge in them. Open your mind about what the interpretations could mean. Again, especially if you're not using like a Rider-Waite deck. If you're using a different deck, it could be harder to get that kind of feel for it. You know, if you're using a deck like the Kwai Tarot is a great example of a deck that doesn't have very evocative images for the most part. It's very cute, but those court cards and miners are just not. I mean, the miners may as well be Marseille style pip cards. So, yeah, I think that's what I've got for you for this court episode. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but you know, the takeaways I want to leave you with are understanding the progression from page to knight to queen to king, or page to knight and queen and king. Really, the king and queen are on the same level. Understanding that on a very intrinsic level, and understanding how those archetypes relate back to the suit. You know, what does a page of water mean? What does a beginner of water mean? A beginner of emotion. What does a knight of wands mean? An adept or, you know, acolyte of passion and will. What does a queen of swords mean? Someone who uses their words to help maneuver other people and uses her words to kind of cut through other people's defenses, sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. You know, what does a king of pentacles do? What is this king of earth doing? Ruling over the tangible things. When you can kind of make a list for yourself of that, that's going to be the most helpful thing, more than memorizing keywords or trying to look for clues in the cards every time. When you understand the role that these cards are playing in the suit, that's when you get to have more fun. You know, it's like understanding sentence structure in a language as opposed to just picking out words here and there. So really understand these cards' roles. Get out of the idea that it has to be it has to be another person. It could be an aspect of yourself. It could also be a situation. I mean, usually it's a person. If nothing else, it could be your feelings about a situation, or this situation is making you feel like a beginner. You know, it's leaving you with some beginner vibes. But generally speaking, most of us like to read them as people, and that doesn't usually, it doesn't usually fail. You know, again, it could mean more a word of advice, you know, be more open for a page. Be more adventurous for a knight. Be more in control for a queen. Be more objective for a king. Yeah, thinking about it in that way, looking at if you have more than one court card, looking to see if you have a lot of queens, if you have a lot of pages, you know, it's a lot of one kind of energy. Or do you have a progression in the suit? Do you have all of the cards in one suit? Thinking about it in that framework can really help. So, I guess the last thing I want to leave you with here is to not be afraid to pull out your book again. If you're a paid reader, don't pull out your book in the middle of a reading if you're doing it in person and live. But when you're at home, pull out your book, look at those keywords, see if there's something that you missed, especially if you have a book like the this Mary Kay Greer Understanding the Tarot Court, or you know, something like Holistic Tarot or Biddy Tarot's gigantic tarot Bible. I know it's not a Bible, but it may as well be. You know, really don't be afraid to dig in while you're learning, because these cards can really have a lot of significance. But you know, again, you'll get your associations with them the more that you read and the more that you see them in concert with each other. Don't be afraid to do readings just with the court cards as well. You know, take out all your court cards and make them have conversations with each other. And don't be afraid to pick up this book. Again, that's Understanding the Tarot Court by Mary Kay Greer and Tom Little. I do not get any promotional bonus for telling you about this. I don't know these people, although I really wish I did. I just like this book a lot, and I think that you will too. Here we get to the self-promotion part of my podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have any ideas for future episodes, please don't hesitate to email me. I am antifragiletarot@gmail.com. If you want to support my podcast, the number one thing you can do is to become a patron of mine on Patreon. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Patreon. $1 a month gets you entry into my Discord. I'll be more active in there now that school's less crazy. You also get at least one video reading a month. I'm working on getting my episodes transcribed. It can be a lot of fun being on my Patreon, and will only get more fun as I have more time. So I look forward to seeing you there. And if you're already a patron of mine, thank you so, so much. You know who you are. I appreciate you all. Another way to support me is by ordering a reading from me on Etsy. I'm Antifragile Tarot, one word, on Etsy. I do have a whole wide range of readings that you can get, very cheap, more expensive. You have options. Something that you can do that does not involve money. You can like my Facebook page. I'm Antifragile Tarot on there. You can also like my Instagram. I'm Antifragile Tarot. Liking and commenting on my posts is a big, big way to support me. And I do post pretty much every day. So if you can like and comment, even if you can't support me financially, hugely important for visibility. And if you are a patron, I want to remind you, please let me know if you want me to shout you out. I'd be happy to do so. Don't have anyone who's asked me to shout them out yet, or nothing concrete, but when I do, you'll get a slot right over here, or at the beginning if you really want. Thank you again for supporting me by listening to this podcast, by liking my stuff on the internet, by being a patron, by emailing me and telling me what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like to hear more of. We'll resume our regularly scheduled 2 episodes a month next month. I will hopefully have an interview for you next month. The Egypt Ernash interview was really fun. So I look forward to doing more. Thank you again for listening. I hope this was a useful episode for you. I bid you a happy May. I'll see you in June. Have a witchy and or wonderful week. Bye.